God has just laid a couple things on my heart that I'm going to share with you guys. I don't particularly want to speak or feel comfortable speaking, but it's hard when God puts something on your heart to say no, despite...
Make it a little more uncomfortable for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One of the things God has been teaching me is that He is a God who knows. We go through life thinking we're alone sometimes, but God is with us. And we think that He doesn't know. We think that no one can understand what's going on, but He's a God who knows. He's a God who walks with us. We talked about it earlier with this idea that God is a priest who is 100% God and 100% man, that He has walked with us. And I just want to encourage you with that thought. One of the things God has taught me is to pray, Lord, You know. Lord, You know. And I may not know what's going on. I may not know what the answer is to the situation, but Lord, You know. If you wouldn't mind just looking in John 16:33, this is my second thought, for those of you who will be confused how it's connected. John 16, we're actually going to start in verse 31. Jesus answered to them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each of you to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Praise God. We're about to be scattered. Some of us are going home, some of us are going to the village, but all of us are going to battle. We are now in a place where I was just talking with someone last night where it feels kind of like a fort. You know, we're all protected. We're together. It's easier, maybe a little bit. For some of you, maybe you don't feel like it's easy. But we're in this place that's special at these youth treats, at camp. But we're about to go out to battle. Some of us go home to whatever problems are waiting for us there. Some of us go home to temptations that we spent all last year fighting. And, you know, now I feel like this is the year. I'm back. I'm where I'm supposed to be. We've heard how every year it's that cycle of, this is going to be the year, and I go out and I come back and I feel like I'm in the same spot maybe, or you know, Lord, I need You to do it again. And we've talked about victory and we're seeking God for victory. But we know we don't go alone. Jesus talks about how the Father is with Him, and the Father and Jesus are with us as we go also. Some practical things that God has put on my heart and has been teaching me is that when we go to battle, we don't always have to fight the battles where the enemy wants us to fight them. There's going to be temptations and there's going to be battles that we can't control. You're going to end up in a situation that is not where you want to be for one reason or another. But there's also battles that we can choose to fight. That battle of praying every day, that battle of going to your knees and seeking God every day. It's not natural to want to seek God. Our natures fight within us to do that. But when God drops into your heart, oh, have I read my Bible today? Have I talked to God today? Have I done that? That's a battle in that moment. You may not think it in that moment, but it is. That's the war within us. And if we take that opportunity, if we see that as an opportunity where I can go to battle now, and it's a battle I can win easily. Some days I don't feel like it. Tell God. He's not a God who doesn't know. He's a God who also respects honesty, right? He encourages it, I think. And so you tell God that. And it's not that He'll be like, oh, you're not ready, I'll come again. No, he's a God who meets you right where you are, and He asks you to come as you are. So we should do that.
Thank you, Lord.
When you fight a battle, I think of wrestling in the water. Sometimes you go under. Jesse has gotten me. Sometimes you put someone else under. But you always need to come back above the water. And sometimes when we're fighting these battles at home, we can't feel like, or we don't feel like I'm standing up again or I'm back there. But do what you can. Don't be discouraged by the fact that you're not where you want to be or where you're not where you think God wants you to be. If you can get up as far as your knees, get up as far as your knees. If you can crawl, crawl. If you can stand, stand. If you can run, run. But all of that is in the direction of the cross in Jesus. Brother JC did a great job about talking about leaving things behind, not walking with your sin anymore, but repenting and going towards the cross. That's another place where you can choose that battle. Am I fighting the battle walking this way? Am I fighting to fight towards the cross? Or am I fighting just not to do what's next to me and what's around me with the sin that is around me? Some of us also are fighting battles for others right now. That idea of intercession. There's people who are going to be counselors in the cottage, in the village, and we're going to be fighting those battles to pray for them, to have grace for them, to love them. And that's another sort of battle. But it's one that we can fight. And it's one that we can approach with all the vigor and determination of a fight. In this passage, we see that God has already overcome. Our king calls us to battle, but he has already overcome. He does not ask us to fight alone.
Well, I trust that you guys had a great weekend. Someone was commenting to me that it's amazing how much we got done in a short amount of time. And I thought back over the weekend, and there really was, at least for me, not any moment where something wasn't happening. And it didn't feel like I was tired during the day. But every morning when I woke up, I felt like I couldn't get up, and I wouldn't get up. But then I got up, and now I'm good and tired for a third period to begin, just the way we like it. But it's been a great time this weekend. I'm a little bit of a contrarian in a lot of ways. When people tell me how to think or feel, or tell me to say things, I usually want to do the opposite. When someone tells me you should feel this way, I think, well, because you said it, I'm going to feel a different way. And when people tell me to say things or think things, I want to do the opposite. Anyone like that? At least a little bit. And sometimes I let that bleed over into my life a little bit, in different ways. You know, I was thinking at the school that I teach. There's this day called Challenge Day. Anyone know what Challenge Day is? It's the worst. They basically, and I kind of got bamboozled into attending it once. Someone told me, who I guess didn't know me at all, they said, you're going to really love this. And basically, it's a day where I don't think I'm overdoing it, but they try and make you cry. And they tell you, like, think about all these terrible things that happened in your life. Now, how does that make you feel? And then, like, share with 10 people all these terrible things. And I'm, you know, everyone in the room is crying except for Mr. W. Mr. W just, like, standing like, this is the worst. But that's me a little bit. And the reason I'm saying all of this is because there's a part of me, and maybe this is for you too, but there's a part of me that feels as though there is an expectation at retreats to meet Jesus. And part of me in my mind, in my human broken mind, thinks, well, because I'm supposed to meet Jesus, well, I'm not. And maybe I'm talking to nobody this morning except for myself. And maybe I'm overblowing it a little bit. But if the Lord has met you this weekend, don't forget it. And don't exit out of your mind because something was supposed to happen. So therefore, if it did happen, let it happen. And remember that it did happen. You know, I think it is unavoidable or almost folly to say that the Lord has not met us this weekend. He has met us in power. He has met us in stillness. He has met us in knowledge. He has met us emotionally, spiritually. Maybe for you, he's met you physically. But the Lord has met us this weekend, and what a wonderful thing it is that he has come. And I'd just like to quickly just remind you of the things that God has spoken to us, that God has done. In our first service together, we learned that Jesus is for us, that we have a God who wants to be with us, who longs for us, despite the brokenness. Jesus is a lion from the tribe of who? Judah. And you were reminded of Kind of. It was almost, it felt like Isaac almost felt a little awkward to tell you the story of Judah, because it's an awkward story. But Jesus came from that line, and he wants to know you, as messed up and as broken as you are. Jesus wants to know you. Well, that makes me want to know him. But then we heard that before we get to know him, well, there's a little bit of groundwork that we have to do. There's a little bit of work that Jesus needs to do in our own lives before we can get to know him. And we saw that text in Isaiah chapter 40, where Jesus wants to prepare the way of the Lord. And he needs to prepare our hearts. And I was talking with Brother John. Wow, what a wonderful thing it is that Jesus can do when we prepare ourselves to meet him. I don't think it was happenstance that the Lord came so mightily that evening after we heard the word about preparing ourselves to meet him. And Sunday evening, well, there's the workshop as well about what is a prophet, what is a priest, what is a king, all these character traits of Jesus. And then we saw Jesus the prophet, and we saw how Jesus himself became the word. I love that idea that prophets spoke the word of the Lord, and then Jesus himself came as the word, and everything he did was the word, and everything he said was the word. And sometimes that word was not what you think it was. Sometimes it hurt a little bit, and you think, well, this is life-giving word and it hurts. Yeah. Like a good surgeon opens you up, and that incision is painful. And on Saturday evening, I was thinking, wow, like, I probably need a surgeon to fix this hip because I can't get up. And it's going to hurt. And God willing, I don't need that. But if I were to need it, it's going to hurt. But it's going to make me the way I need to be. And that's what Jesus's words did in different towns that he went to. People hated him sometimes. And you might hear the words of Jesus and think, well, I hate that. But it's life-giving. It's seeking to make you alive. And then we heard Jesus as priest, and the three P's, right? Perfect, present, and powerful, right? I don't write notes when I'm listening. I find it actually to be a little distracting, but I know a lot of you write notes, and I think that's good if you can do that. But I wasn't sure if I got that right, but I'm glad I did. Jesus is our priest, and he's fully man, fully God. And what a wonderful thing it is that our intercessor fully understands who we are and is fully able to fix who we are. And then finally, we heard Jesus as king. And when Jesus is king, that means that you are not. And it means that everything that you prioritize must fall under his reign. And so you are actually second and he is first. Everything must come second to Jesus. And what a wonderful thing it is that it's not a straitjacket that we're putting on, as we heard, but it's actually life and liberty and joy that we get and victory we get when Jesus becomes our king. I hope that this weekend you've gotten to understand and know a little bit more about who Jesus is. But please don't think that the work ends here. Knowing Jesus, you can ask the older saints in the room, and you could ask me, because if you were an attendee this week, and I'm older than you, knowing Jesus is a constant pursuit. It's not something that you learn who he is in a week and it's like, great, now I know who Jesus is. Guess I'm good. No, that's not how it works. That's not how any even earthly relationship works. I'm married to my wife, and I talk to her every single day, and I learn who she is every single day. And as complex as we might be as people, Jesus has infinitely more to him, and he has infinitely more that he wants to show you. And so wonderful. You got to know Jesus this weekend. You had experiences with Jesus this weekend. There are still new heights and depths of him that are still yet to be known. And I kind of shared this last night, but I fall into the trap of, wow, I met Jesus so powerfully. There is no way he can duplicate that. He can. Not only can he, but he will. If you earnestly seek him and follow after him, he will meet you in new and wonderful ways. And so if you met Jesus this weekend and you considered that to be wonderful and how wonderful it was to be meeting him, well, he can do that again and he will do that again. But how do you do it? Well, this idea just keeps coming back into my head. There's an altar that has to be made. There's a sacrifice that has to be made. And this pursuit of Jesus involves sacrificing ourselves. I'd just like to read another quote from Hans Waldfogel to you, and I'll close with this. He says this, "Oh God, make us hungry for Jesus. Take away every other desire from us, every other pursuit, and make our hearts to be so hungry to know Jesus. All my occupation ought to be that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And it isn't done by only praying. I've known people that would walk up and down like a tiger in his cage and say, oh, that I may know him, that I might know him, that I might. That isn't the way to do it. Count all things but refuse that are in your way. Forsake the things of earth. Forsake yourself. Forsake yourself. Open your heart to the glory of the present indwelling Son of God. This almighty power that raised him from the dead is waiting for the chance to raise you from the dead, to lift you to heavenly places and to keep you there. But it's done by counting all things as refuse, that you might know Christ." I wonder if we could just sing in closing together, page 395 in our hymnals. Is your all on the altar? And that's what we need if we want to know Jesus. And so let's, maybe we can stand together and sing page 395, "Is your all on the altar?"
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you have done this weekend, God, and we pray that you would continue that good thing that you have begun, Lord. Lord, the stirring that you have begun, the embers that you have ignited, Lord, I pray that you would only fan those to flame within each and every one of us, God, that we wouldn't leave from this place unchanged, O God, and we wouldn't go from this place without continuing to change, O Lord. God, I pray that you would change us day by day from glory to glory, that we might know you better, that we might serve you better, O Lord, that we might love you better, O God. We thank you, Lord, that as we uncover who you are, there are new heights to be gained, Lord. There's new joys to be sought after, Lord. There's new treasures to be had, O God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know all the treasures of heaven here, Lord God, that we might know you so closely and intimately, O God. Lord, I thank you that you long for us to know you, God. And as we begin to take step towards you, Lord Jesus, that you move towards us, Lord. And so I pray that we can claim these things by faith. We ask these things for your name's sake and glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.